Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. We've got Premier League action, we've got FA Cup action to look at, as well as the EFL. We'll be catching up with Dan Childs later on in the show. Mark, you were telling us all about last weekend. You were gallivanting off to Centre Parks. Your beloved Spurs won 4-0. I mean, it must be a good time to be you at the moment.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? I shouldn't say that the Spurs' second half performance was the highlight of the weekend, given there was plenty of stuff to do with the family, but it certainly warmed the heart to see sort of Spurs put in probably their best performance of the season. Certainly one of them. It's hard to remember, isn't it, right the way back now to August, but it felt like a good performance. Yeah, refreshed after Centre Parks as well, just constantly going down the rapids with the kids, I'd just go flying down the rapids and they'd just be going again, and then we just sort of that was on repeat for about 2 hours. And then Cheltenham at the moment, that's the one thing for me though, Jack, I'm not feeling Cheltenham. I'm hoping, we're speaking before
strange,
racing on Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been. I really enjoyed Tuesday, but I think if you know they could have sort of class six horses running, and I'd enjoy the Tuesday because there's a buzz. Yesterday, I struggled with. See that Cigino's out tomorrow. I don't know. It feels a little bit quieter this year. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the weather doesn't help when it was raining and sort of particularly on the first day. Too many races means all these good horses are avoiding each other. I was watching the 2000 Champion Chase this morning, flagship Uberales, direct route, Edredon Blur. Those were the days. I don't want to be one of them old farts that just says everything was better in the old days. But as far as Cheltenham goes, I feel like it maybe was. But who knows? Firstly does look a better card. Maybe it'll be saved over the next 2 days.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sure there'll be more Cheltenham references throughout this show, but we are here to talk about football. It's FA Cup quarter-final weekend. We better start with Manchester United against Liverpool. Mark, what a massive game this is. You told me off last week for downplaying Manchester City against Liverpool, so I'll give this beans. This is huge. It's Sunday, it's 3:30, 14-5 about Manchester United, 3-1 the draw, 17-10. Liverpool. We'll start with Liverpool, Mark. It was a good performance from them against Manchester City. And I think, you know, despite City hitting the post and what have you, Liverpool would probably be the more disappointed not to have won that game.
In some respects, yes, because the second half performance was fantastic. The way that they went after City, boosted by the early goal in the second half. I always feel like that does help, doesn't it? And kind of inspires you. But to be without so many players, and they were missing three of their first choice back four. It's hard to know who the kind of first choice left back is at the moment, because that does seem to change around. But, you know, Konate wasn't there, and, you know, Trent Alexander wasn't there, and they're missing players up front. Salah wasn't fully fit. Felt to me like a golden opportunity for Man City. They played really well in the first 15, 20 minutes. It looked like it was going to be a long afternoon for Liverpool. Then they got the goal, and, felt inevitable that City would go on, probably not only win that game, but then also with it, the title. And Liverpool's second half performance was just outstanding. And I think that really does sort of inspire them and gives them a better opportunity than the title odds would suggest now of winning it. They've got the easiest run in of the three teams. They're not in the Champions League like the other two. So, you know, even sort of going deeper in the Europa League, you'd still be able to mix and match that team. It's lower end of the priorities, isn't it? The Europa League. So the quad's on for Liverpool. We're speaking before their game against Prague on Thursday. I'm not expecting them to go out given the first leg score. Yeah, the quad's on.
I think for the first time in a little while as well, Mark, we do have a genuine three-horse race for the title. I know we're here to talk about the FA Cup, but, you know, it'd be rude to not reflect on the Premier League. I mean, Arsenal going along really well.
Yeah, they are obviously top of the table. The one thing I would say about Arsenal is that their away games are very difficult. They go to City, you know, after the international break. They've got to play Tottenham. They've got to play Manchester United. I know United are not in great form, and we'll get to them in a moment. But it's still a game you can come unstuck in at Old Trafford. And then even Brighton and Wolves are tricky ones, aren't they? Sort of those sort of, in sort of golfing parlance, sort of those sort of 5-6 foot sort of, a putts for par or whatever. So it's definitely, although they're top, I feel like they're still, in my eyes, sort of the third favourites. You've got City being the team that still, because they've got that course and distance in them, would be the favourites. Liverpool, I think, have got the easiest run in. And then you've got Arsenal, who are top of the table, but still got, like I say, them very difficult away games.
Yeah, absolutely. Just how important is this match as we look at Manchester United against Liverpool, Mark? 4-10 Hag. United fans have almost just become used to losing against their bitter rivals. And for an FA Cup game, a real opportunity here, for potential silverware, it's massive for Ten Hag.
Does feel like it. A win in this game would buy him a lot of credit. There's no doubt about that. It would also give them, it sounds pretty obvious to say, but it would give them a good shot of winning a trophy, wouldn't it? Because they'd be in the semi-finals. Liverpool would be out. Arsenal already out. Villa are out. Spurs are out. So all of a sudden, you're only sort of really worried about Manchester City, and they reached the final last year. And there's been a lot said about Ten Hag in these big games and him coming up short sort of more often than not. He was under big pressure. Do you remember really early on in his tenure? And then he managed to beat Liverpool at Old Trafford. So we know he's got it in him to be able to do that. I'm just not sure that they're in the best spot, United, to, for a game of this magnitude. Liverpool have a big away following with them. I would imagine that they're very excited by the prospect of beating United and really rubbing it in to Ten Hag. So, I think that it is a big game for both teams. Liverpool, as they go for the quad, Manchester United, because Ten Hag will look to show that he's worthy in terms of being able to manage a club of Manchester United size. United, further blows really with the fact that it's sort of the teams that are, only two teams are going to get the fifth spot, aren't they, in the Champions League, and the Premier League's fallen further behind the Bundesliga and Serie A ahead of the Thursday game. So at the moment, that it's not going to fall down to fifth spot. If it falls down to fifth, then United are in with a shout of qualifying for the Champions League. If it's top four, don't fancy them really at all. And yeah, I mean, this is a tall order for them, even in this game.
It's quite funny. You say there, Mark, that, Ten Hag, there was a period at the start of his tenure here where he was under pressure. I kind of looked at it and it feels like he's just been under constant pressure. He's only ever sort of a couple of games away from crisis again.
There was that sort of couple of month period, sort of second half of last season, where they won the League Cup, they reached the FA Cup final, they qualified for the Champions League. I think he would look at that and say, well, that's job done, really. Season one at Manchester United, it was always going to be a slow burner. You couldn't turn it around in 10 minutes. But they've gone backwards from kind of where they put their foundations for the second half of last season. They've gone backwards since then. And if they go out of this game, that would have meant that they're outside of the top four in the Premier League. They went out in the group stage of the Champions League from not a particularly strong group, Galatasaray, Copenhagen, so they're out of Europe altogether, finished bottom of that section, went out of the League Cup to Newcastle at home, go out to Liverpool as well. Then you do, I think, have legitimate questions as to kind of Ten Hag's future. And it wouldn't have helped him that Jadon Sancho scored a Champions League goal for Borussia Dortmund last night either.
With all of that being said, Mark, how are you playing this one?
Yeah, Liverpool, round about 10 to 11, looks more than fair to me. I know it's Old Trafford and this is a sort of, not a derby game in terms of local rivals, but just that sort of hatred, if you like, between the two arch rivals. But The way Liverpool played in that second half against City, if they're anything like that, I just think it'll be too hot for United. United did go to Anfield and got that 0-0 draw in December, but Liverpool won the shot count 34-6. It was 8-1 shots on target. They've scored 26 more goals in the Premier League than what Manchester United have this season. I just think that they've got too much firepower for United.
Okay, yeah, seems fair at the prices. We shall get through the rest of the games now, starting with the FA Cup. Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe. Okay, let's start with Wolves against Coventry. This one 12:15 on Saturday. Wolves 4-6, 3-1 the draw, 17-4 Coventry. Let's start with Coventry, Mark, because I suspect most people listening to this are probably, you know, more fond of the Premier League, so we'll know a lot more about Wolves. Coventry have been a strange team this season. Sometimes I watch them and go, God, they're one of the best in the Championship. Other times I watch them and they just look completely out of sorts. How do you expect them to arrive here?
Well, I think you're right in terms of that inconsistency. And that makes them dangerous because at their best, I think they are capable of giving Wolves a good game. They've a team under Mark Robbins that have got better sort of year on year most seasons, haven't they? And then they reached the playoff final last campaign, were beaten on penalties. Start of the season wasn't amazing from them.
Well, lost their two best players as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I mean, obviously, there were departures to deal with. There was also just that hangover. I mean, losing a game to reach the Premier League on penalties is absolutely gutting, isn't it? So, I think there was work to be done there from Robbins. They brought in some new players. There were some sort of foreign signings as well. So, it just took a while for it all to come together. It's starting to sort of over the last few months. They're very much in the playoff mix. And, I, as a Norwich fan, you're probably quite fond of Mark Robbins, I'd imagine.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, well, I mean, he was very much in the, in my equation anyway, for when Farkland was stuttering mid-season. Yeah, fantastic manager. He's done a cracking job at Coventry, really shrewd sort of championship
league
outfit.
To nearly the Premier League. Yeah, and not many managers get that opportunity to even last that long in the EFL, because you either have a bad time of it and you're therefore sacked, or you're good and you move up. Yeah. But with Coventry, they were a big club, obviously, in the kind of lower reaches of the EFL. So he's been able to grow along with them. And I think this is sort of just rewards really for that hard work to have a quarter final against Wolves. It would have been better for them if they were at home, would have had more chance, but I don't think this is a gimme by any stretch of the imagination for Wolves.
Yeah, Sims, their big money summer signing that they used sort of Jacare's cash on is starting to score as well. So pleasing for Coventry. I mean, Wolves though will see this as a huge opportunity, Mark.
Yeah, they will. And we were talking about the job that Robbins has done at Coventry. I mean, Gary O'Neill walked into, it wasn't quite a disaster zone, but it was a difficult job when he arrived at Wolves. They'd lost key players. Obviously, Lopetegui had decided he didn't want to be there anymore. Financial fair play was hitting. And yet he's rallied the troops. I think there were question marks from some fans about his suitability to the role, but he's galvanized them and everyone's pulling in the same direction, safely in mid-table. And that's what you want from, if you're a mid-table Premier League team, like you've seen some of them just sort of mug off the FA Cup. And to me, that's crazy. Give it a go. It elongates your season, gets the fans excited. And now they're one game away from Wembley, home to a Championship club. However, I'm going to go for Coventry or draw double chance in this game. Yeah. So Cov to at least take it to extra time. Just looking at those Wolves injury, Huang and Cunha already sidelined. Then Pedro Neto and Bellegarde also picked up problems in that win over Fulham last week. When if you look at the stats, Fulham were the sort of dominant team on a lot of the was it possession and shots on target. And so, I mean, Coventry scored in their last 13 away games can make life difficult for Wolves.
Cool, wasn't expecting that. Should be a fun day out for the Coventry fans. Let's take a look at the 5:30 game on Saturday. It's Manchester City against Newcastle. City falls on 11-2, the draw 9-1. Newcastle, another injury blow for Newcastle. Mark, I mean, this is not going to be easy.
No, Anthony Gordon went off, didn't he, against Chelsea. It's not going to be easy for Newcastle. They did knock Man City out of the League Cup, but that was at home. They also only went down 1-0 in the league game way back in sort of the early exchanges of the campaign. But I had a look back at that game. Man City were missing Stones, De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva. They had a game in the Super Cup on the Wednesday. Quick turnaround to the Saturday. City are at a different level to what they were playing at the start of the season. So, Newcastle, I mean, you know, they conceded 4 at Liverpool, at Arsenal, at Tottenham, 3 at Chelsea. I thought they were really bad against Chelsea, yeah. Just in terms of what they were, just in terms of effort. They were playing as if the season was over. Now, maybe it is in terms of the Premier League, but that doesn't bode well for Eddie Howe. The FA Cup offers them some opportunity. They've had some rough luck with injuries and draws in cup competitions this season. It has been brutal for them in Champions League and the domestic ones. But this is, the hardest of the lot. I'm going to go for Man City -1 on the handicap because Newcastle's defending has been absolutely shoddy this season, certainly in recent months.
Yep, can't argue with that. A couple of games on the Sunday. We've already previewed the big one in Manchester United against Liverpool. So we'll take a look at the 12:45 kickoff. It's Chelsea against Leicester. 4-9 Chelsea, 15-4 the draw, and 6-1 about Leicester. For Chelsea fans' sanity, Mark, it feels, they've already missed out on one trophy this season. A trophy feels big for them. They need something to grab onto.
FA Cup saves their season. Pochettino actually the backing towards him from the home fans was pretty decent, I thought, against Newcastle, helped by the fact they scored an early goal. It's a lot easier to be positive when you scored that early goal. I thought their football was good against Newcastle. Has been in various spots in most games. They've shown signs of being a decent side, but consistency, even within games, is not there for them. But this, we spoke earlier, didn't we, about Wolves and the opportunity for them. I mean, Leicester are top of the Championship. They're not playing well. Only won one of their last 6 matches. They're a team that likes to have the ball. And I think that will be a problem against Chelsea because they have to play slightly differently. And also, a way of protecting yourself is to have possession. That's a way. It can almost be seen as a defensive move to have the amount of possession that Leicester can have at times in the Championship. They're not going to have that sort of control at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea beat Preston 4-0. They beat Leeds 3-2 in early rounds of the FA Cup. So we've got a couple of form lines to the Championship. And I'm going to go for Chelsea to win and over 2.5 goals, and wouldn't be surprised if Chelsea covered the line themselves.
I think if you're if you're Leicester, Mark, if they were 15 points clear still at the top, that they could throw everything at this. But as you say, a slight stutter in recent weeks. I think they probably will still win the league. But I don't know, if I was a fan of Leicester going into this, I'd almost be seeing it as a slight distraction.
Maybe, but there's the international break coming up, and that was a reason I didn't mention for backing Man City. But there's no league game on the horizon now, so you can go as strong as you'd like. I'm not sure they will win the league, actually.
Oh, really?
You're not going to say
Ipswich, are you?
No, I think Leeds will. I think Leeds, could very well chase them down. I mean, Ipswich, and let's not even go there after what happened to them on Saturday.
We can go there if you want. Yeah, no, I'd love to go.
That was a low blow. The only positive to come out of that was that because I was Centre Park swimming, I only saw the sort of full time score. So the 2-1 defeat, it's disappointing. it was only when I clicked onto the live score app and saw when the goals were that it became really painful. But I could see Leeds chasing Leicester down.
It was a great example as well of why not to leave a game early, because we were watching the Ipswich game at Carrow Road before our fixture. It was obviously on the telly, and celebrating the sort of Cardiff goals. Text the only Cardiff fan I know, our former sort of colleague Gethin, and he just put a load of question marks. He'd left at 1-0 and missed both of the goals. So there you go. There's your lesson. If you needed a lesson. Do not leave early. Okay, we've got some Premier League games to take a look at as well this weekend. Not so many, of course, because of the FA Cup. We shall start with Burnley against Brentford. This one Saturday, 3 o'clock, 9-4 Burnley, 13-5 the draw, 23-20 Brentford. Where are you going here, Mark?
Going for Ivan Toney to score at 13-10. Had 4 in 5 when he first came back from the ban, and it's now 4 without a goal, but I don't see Burnley's defence being able to sort of cope with him. Conceded 62 goals this season. Danny Ings was on target against them last week, and you know, the West Ham fans are not mad on him. Yeah, but Burnley are one funny old side, Burnley, because during games, sort of Chelsea, but obviously a lower end of quality, they are capable of good moments, of some nice play, being on top in games, but that defence just rarely holds firm. And yeah, that spells danger when Ivan Toney's around.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at Luton against Nottingham Forest. 7-4 the home side, 5-2 the draw, 6-4 Forest. Talk about a gut punch, Mark. I mean, this 3-0 up against Bournemouth, would have gone level on points with Nottingham Forest, play Nottingham Forest this weekend, lose the game 4-3. I mean, we were laughing, weren't we, saying, you know, maybe the pundit's bingo card was, you know, getting ticked off with, oh, Luton should try and, you know, sit a little bit more defensively and lock up. Maybe we should have listened to them. This was
I totally disagree because, you know, this is the way defensively. I don't think they'll be able to hold out if they sort of tried to shut up.
What, even at 3-0?
Well, I'm not saying a 3-0.
I'm talking about this game. I agree with you in the course of a season, but
yeah, but I just think
mentally it must be such a blow.
I think you confuse the message when you start trying to play differently at different times and different stages of games. I think, you know, if there's 5 minutes to go, then you can start shutting up shop. I think when there's 45 minutes, if Luton can score 3 goals against Bournemouth in 45 minutes, then Bournemouth can score 3 or 4, as it was, in the same time period against Luton, can't they? So
is it not just about managing a game though? Like I am fully on board with you, but
how do you manage? I don't know how do you, you know, if there was a sort of bomb-proof way of not conceding goals and holding on to leads, like everybody would do it, wouldn't they? I don't think there is a sort of trademark. I've seen many a team sort of sit back and try and hold on. David Moyes, I remember when he was Sunderland manager, they used to always moan about the way that he would try to do that. I've seen many a team, particularly down the bottom, that gets in front. 3-0 is at the extreme end of that, but many times 2-0, and they try and hold on, and they're just not good enough to do it anyway. You just invite pressure. I mean, it's a bad outcome to lose 4-3, but I think Luton, you know, they're outsiders to win that game. Probably lose it sort of most weeks anyway.
How will they fare in this one? I think
they're a big price.
If they bounce back, then you can ignore everything I've said, because you know they'll be in a similar position to if they'd have beaten Bournemouth. But I don't know. I've been in these situations, Mark, with Norwich, where you're ahead and you know it would be a huge win, and then you throw it away having been a few ahead, and it just derails a season. Maybe it's trauma speaking here.
Yeah, I mean, as a Spurs fan, I'm one of the two teams that has been 3-0 up and lost at halftime and lost a Premier League game. We got beat by Man United many years ago, having been 3-0 up at White Hart Lane against them. I just think that sort of Luton being outsiders to win this game, I don't go for the sort of psycho babble too much. I mean, I've no idea how the players are feeling and whether Rob Edwards is capable of picking them up. What I do know is that they score a lot of goals, Luton, and They're playing, Nottingham Forest are favourites despite having lost five of their last six games, and they've won one of their last 13. Big game at the bottom. Wish it was on TV. Think it'll be exciting. Hope Luton stay up. Think they're a big price to beat Forest.
Do we know if Luton drifted? Have it? Yeah. After what was the?
No, they were 7-4. They were 7-4 to before Wednesday night. I suspect they would have shortened that. Yeah, at half time they probably were shortening to win the game, because for 45 minutes, I mean, what a sort of outcome that was be 3-0 up at Bournemouth. I mean, you can look at it two ways, can't you?
Absolutely, it was a stunning goal from Solanke, wasn't it? The Bournemouth first, really.
And that's what I mean. That's the kind, you know, that there just changes the whole dynamic of the game, doesn't it? You know, that quick goal early in the second half. And I don't think if Luton would have had 10 men behind the ball and, you know, been taking 3 minutes over goal kicks, you necessarily stop that.
Okay, I tried. Saturday, 5:30, Fulham against Spurs, 23-10. Fulham 14-5, the draw, 21-20. Spurs, your boys after last weekend looking good, Mark.
Yeah, went favourites for a top four finish following that game. Aston Villa were, I think, poor. But it's always hard to know, isn't it? Were Villa bad? Were Tottenham good? Combination of both, I would suggest. This is a tricky game for Tottenham. I don't think I'd be backing them to win it, but the way I was aiming to play it was our old friend Pedro Porro, 28-1, first goal scorer each way. Hasn't scored in the Premier League yet this season, did get the screamer in the FA Cup. He's had 37 shots, though, for Spurs in the Premier League. So he's had more than sort of Sarr and Bentancur. They go off shorter prices. I think Pedro Porro is as likely, possibly even more likely to score than those type of players. So he's behind Son, Richarlison, Kulusevski and Maddison, but he's next best in terms of shots for Tottenham. And so at 28-1, could give you a run for your money. I struggled to sort of find any value in the 90-minute markets. I don't know if you had any, Jack, observer.
No, I just sort of wrote down on my notes, Fulham are just solid, aren't they? I mean, I was the same. I don't think I could be backing Spurs to go there and win. I mean, they're most likely winners, I'd say, but it's not going to be getting any of my money.
No, Fulham, I found a very difficult team to weigh up this season. And I don't think that will change between now and the end of the campaign.
You've got to promise me, Mark, that you will back Pedro Porro this time. Because remember, you put him up for the FA Cup, didn't you? And then everyone's,
I put him up
you
for about 3 weeks running before it and then forgot for the FA Cup. So, I will.
Disaster. One final game to preview in the Premier League. It's West Ham against Aston Villa, Sunday, 2:00. I mean, you've alluded to it there, Mark. What can you put your finger on what went wrong for Villa last weekend?
Potentially tiredness of having played on the Thursday against Ajax. Don't think Unai Emery's tactics worked, moving to the back three, because it was a back five for most of the game. They went too direct. Because they have Bailey and Watkins up front, and Tottenham, as we've seen all season, play very aggressively and sort of leave the two centre-halves sort of man for man, and Romero and Van de Ven, they fell into the trap, I think, of just believing it would be easy to just hit the ball over the top and get the pace of those two going. And you know, Van de Ven, the quickest player in the league, so you're not out sprinting him. And it's just a low-value way of playing, and that they didn't try and move the ball through midfield for much of the game. Kamara's recent injury is a problem for them in midfield, I would say, as well. And, you know, now McGinn's out for, suspended, isn't he, after that ridiculous red card. It was a definite red card. I thought
everyone I saw on social media making out like it wasn't. I saw it and thought it was a clear red.
I mean, you know, if you try, I've heard of people trying to put the ball into Rose Head. Very rare you see him try and put the left back into Rose Head these days. And yeah, if you put no attempt to play the ball, wild tweet. It was my favourite moment of the whole weekend, I would say, when the Villa fans were kind of serenading McGinn's tackle and they were singing their super John McGinn. And they got to the bit where it went sort of, we've got McGinn, super John And then the red card came out and he just went silent. He let the team down. It was just an off day. Unai Emery's right, though, to say, you know, afterwards, Villa are still fourth. This is a big game, absolutely, for Aston Villa. But them and West Ham both in action on Thursday night. So we're speaking before the match against Ajax and Freiburg, respectively. Hard to know who comes out of it, it sort of in better shape. So I've got to try and forget about that. And I'm just going to go for West Ham to win the game at 15-8. Villa are conceding a lot of goals, 11 in their last five Premier League games. And as I said, no McGinn or Kamara in midfield might make it a difficult afternoon.
There's the this weekend's games previewed. We shall get on to the EFL now. It's all hotting up. Let's speak to Dan Childs. If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets. Always a delight to be joined alongside Dan Charles to chat all things EFL. The team in focus this week, Dan, Grimsby. What's going on there at the moment?
Well, they've had a difficult season, obviously, been, you know, struggled towards the start. Paul Hurst, who did great with them, didn't he? Getting him up from the National League, lost his job. Probably a little bit of a harsh decision. You'd have thought he might have had some credit in the bank. And under David Artell, it took quite a while, really, for them to improve. But there has been a bit of improvement recently. I mean, they won 1-0 against MK Dons, which is a real eye-catching result on Tuesday night. But if you look back at their recent form, it has been quite a bit better. The 1-1 draw at Sutton last weekend might not sound great, but they absolutely dominated the game, got done by a really harsh penalty towards the end in that one. And they're five games unbeaten now, which is, you know, no mean feat for a side, you know, sort of scrapping for survival. And I do think they're 6 points above the relegation zone. I think they're going to still stay up now. They've got a guy on loan. They've lacked a bit up front this season, but they've got Justin Abikwu, who's coming, 20-year-old forward on loan from Coventry. Took him a while to settle down. He was coming off the bench initially. Now he's starting games. He scored in each of the last two. Also won a penalty against MK Dons that was missed. And he is now really giving them another dimension going forward. They're looking a lot tighter at the back as well, Grimsby. And I do think they'll probably get over the line. It's getting a lot tighter down there now. Forest Green have won their last two games and have got out of the relegation zone at the moment. So that's putting a lot of pressure on the teams around them. But I certainly think that Grimsby are going to be okay.
Okay, good news for Grimsby fans. Let's get into your selections for this weekend. Three, as always. Who's the first?
They're going to stick with that League Two relegation battle. And Colchester at home to Walsall. Colchester are a team that's dropped into the bottom two after Forest Green's win at Bradford on Tuesday. Their game was postponed at home to Doncaster. I actually think Colchester, this is a good chance for them to get back out of the bottom two. At home to Walsall, who've got a lot of injuries at the moment. I would just take Colchester to win the game. Colchester, the season they've had, when Danny Cowley went in at the start of January, they'd had 17 losses in 26 League Two games. You know, disastrous form, really. Since he's gone in there, they've not taken tons of points, but they have clearly got a lot better, much harder to beat. They've only lost two of their last nine games. Now, the problem for them is that six of them games have been draws. They're just struggling to turn those draws into wins at the moment. However, against Walsall at the moment, they've got three of their main centre-backs out, Priestley Farquharson, Donovan Daniels and Oisin McKenty, all out for Walsall. That's a big blow for them, who like to play with back three normally, Walsall. They did get a 1-1 draw, Walsall at home to Barrow on the Tuesday. But I just think that Colchester, having that 3 week with the game being postponed and the improvement they've made under Cowley, I think this is a game they can win.
OK, Colchester, draw no bets. Let's take a look.
Colchester to win that game.
Win. 7-4, all faith with Colchester. Great stuff, all in. Two more to go. Who's next?
Another win bet in League Two. Going to go with Wimbledon to win at home to Newport. Two teams in that mad scramble for the playoffs in League Two. Wimbledon got into those playoffs on Tuesday, got a 2-0 win at home to Gillingham. They replaced Gillingham in the top seven. They seem to have taken off since the win against MK Dons. They got an injury time winner, 1-0 win at home to MK Dons. They've been in poor form going into that game. since then, it seems to really kick them on. They've got 7 points from the last nine available, and they're starting to get a few goals now. They had a problem, up front when Elliot Alhamady they allowed to go to Ipswich. Omar Bougil, though, has just taken on the picked up the baton now. He got the two goals against Gillingham, so they seem to have solved that centre forward issue. Ronan Curtis, another guy that's been playing well for them recently, the ex-Portsmouth player. I just think this is a good chance for them to win a game. Newport had a good season. Injuries earlier on in the season came back, but they're another side at the moment with a lot of injuries in defence. James Clark, McLaughlin, Delaney, three of their players that are out of the back. They did get a 5-3 win at home to Morecambe on Tuesday, again, despite those injury problems. But I think going to Wimbledon, who are a much more solid team, will be a more difficult game for them. Wimbledon to win this one.
Okay, Wimbledon for this weekend. One more to go. Who is it?
They're going to go up to League One with Bristol Rovers, or draw a double chance away to Lincoln. Now, this is a selection that probably most people would think is a bit off the wall at the moment, because Lincoln have gone and won 5-1 last weekend away at Barnsley. Then they followed that with a 6-0 win at home to Cambridge on Tuesday. I just think I'm never one to focus too much on short-term events. You've got to look at what's, the overall picture of the two clubs. There's only 8 points between them. Lincoln are in ninth, Bristol Rovers are in 11th. Bristol Rovers have actually got a game in hand as well. And their recent form is not that bad. They've got 10 points. 10 points from the last six games, Bristol Rovers. Now, those include a win at Stevenage, 3-2. They also got a 1-0 win at Leighton Orient. So, sort of playoff-chasing teams that are in a very similar area of the table to where Lincoln are. Now, Lincoln, that 6-0 win at Cambridge, I watched the highlights last night, and some of the defending for those goals from Cambridge was absolutely appalling. So, I wouldn't actually worry too much about that scoreline. They also picked up a couple of injuries as well. Alex Mitchell, centre-back, who's on loan from Millwall, he hobbled off. Ben House, the centre-forward, who's a really key player for Lincoln, he went off injured in the first half as well. So they're going to have to make at least two enforced changes. Bristol Rovers are looking more solid now. Got a good 0-0 draw at Fleetwood, who have been improving on Tuesday. And I just feel this is a game for them. I can see them getting at least a point. So Bristol Rovers will draw a double chance at odds against. Looks overpriced to me.
Brilliant. Dan, thanks as always.
You're welcome.
A big thanks to Dan. Mark, we shall get some of your best bets for this weekend. We shall start with a bet builder.
Yeah, I'm heading to Stamford Bridge. It's a long way from where I live, actually, Stamford Bridge. Although it's in London, but that trek from Essex to West London, I've done it a few times. Oh, absolutely. You'd rather go to Birmingham or something. It feels like it's quicker. So Chelsea to win the first half against Leicester. They've started quickly against Newcastle. And Chelsea, the sort of team where you want them to be in their rhythm early, otherwise you might not want to be on them to win the game. So I'm going for them to win the first half. Over 2.5 goals in the game. Chelsea's forward players do seem to be clicking. Defensively, they're not. So that gives you an idea and I think an opportunity for Leicester to score in the game, even if they do go on to lose. And then I'm going to go for a gusto assist. He's got 5 in the Premier League from only 1,370 minutes, which is a very good return, even more so given he's a right back, but he stepped in to Reece James's boots very well. So that's around about 8-1 for Chelsea to win the first half, over 2.5 goals in the game, and gusto to get an assist.
Nice looking price about that one. A treble for this weekend. Who are we going with?
Yeah, so Manchester City to beat Newcastle. The fact that Pep Guardiola hasn't got to worry about the league, it's international break after this. He can go all guns blazing, and I expect them to comfortably beat a Newcastle team that's conceding way too many goals away to the big teams already this season. Chelsea to beat Leicester, just think that there's a class difference. And I would question, I know they're top of the table, I would question whether Leicester are the best team in the Championship. I would say that most observers, or more observers, would say that Leeds are the best team in the Championship, and Chelsea have already beaten them at home. And then finally, bringing home the bacon, hopefully, it's Liverpool to beat Manchester United. Just much more firepower in the Liverpool ranks than what there is in the United one. Good result for United last week against Everton, couple of penalties, but they're good against the sort of teams below them. It's when they come up against the better sides that they've really struggled, and I don't see this being any different.
Okay, that leads us nicely into the nap.
Yeah, I'm sticking with that game at Old Trafford. I thought Liverpool would have been shorter than around about 10 to 11 to beat Manchester United. I think United are not at full strength, and that's a problem for them defensively. And when Liverpool have got Diaz, Nunez and Salah potentially all starting, could be big problems for them.
I think we haven't overlooked it. That wouldn't be fair, but we do have to give credit for the way that Liverpool have managed this sort of injury crisis, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not being overlooked. I mean,
no
kids, you know, we've been, not only us, everyone's been speaking about them, but they've still managed to win in the City case, play very well and get an honourable draw during what for many teams would be a crisis. And I think that is Konsa, the centre-back, just looks like he could be sort of playing, alongside Van Dijk anyway next season. But you sort of forget that Matip and Konate are out, and then Curtis Jones is out as well, isn't he? And someone like Thiago Alcantara, just not seen him this season. Trent's been out, doesn't matter. Conor Bradley comes in, plays very well. Robertson missed chunks of the season. All right, we'll just play somebody else, left back. And it's been very impressive from Liverpool. And, you know, this is what almost a decade of work from Klopp being, played out in front of our eyes. And, you know, it's why he's so good. It's why Liverpool are so good. And, where United want to be. But they're not there yet. They're nowhere near.
Absolutely. Liverpool to beat Manchester United the nap around about 10 to 11 at time of recording. Mark, can you top last weekend for yourself? What have you got?
No, this is a very much Craig David. He was chilling on Sunday, wasn't he? I'll be chilling on Saturday and Sunday this week. No, not much on. Watching hopefully Tottenham beat Fulham on Saturday evening. Playing the role of Uber / taxi driver for one of my kids in the daytime. And the wife is out brunching, which seems
to
be
all the
rage. Oh, is she?
Not what a bottomless brunch.
Yeah, it's all the rage these days. I think the sort of women seem to have found the delights of afternoon drinking. something that men found out about 100 years ago. But yeah, and they just disguise it under a bottomless brunch or going out to brunch. It's afternoon drinking, and there's a few things better in life.
Classier than sort of tinnies on the train, doesn't it? On your way.
But the travel juice is one of the great beers, isn't it? The train travel juice. So no, it's all good. But yeah, so I'm playing the role of ferrying one of the kids to, I don't know, base jump or jump base or something. So yeah, I'll sit in the corner, read the Racing Post, and not speak to any of the parents while I'm there.
Very on brand. What does your Gold Cup day look like? Are you working? Are you off?
I was supposed to be off and was intending to go on a bit of a drinking session actually on the Friday, but a few things have got in the way. It's not not ideal, but I'll probably just be sat indoors watching it and working away in the background.
A big thanks to Mark and Dan, as always. If you're following in on any of their selections, or indeed the Cheltenham Festival, please remember to do so responsibly. It's the international break next week, so we won't be around, but please do subscribe to the Racing Post YouTube channel. Plenty of content coming your way from other shows. See you later, everyone. Bye-bye.